Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Futures do remain range-bound as we await CPI and ECB tomorrow. In the meantime, it's meme stocks that are going to get more action. The president goes to Europe for his first overseas trip. 10-year below 1.5 for the first time since May 7th. Our roadmap begins with the rise of a new crop of Reddit-fueled names. Clover, Wendy's, and others joining the ranks of GameStop and AMC, seeing big trading activity.
Plus, Merck is set to supply the U.S. with an oral COVID-19 treatment. It's an antiviral medication developed with Ridgeback Biotherapeutics to treat mild to moderate patients. And Carl, we've been talking about it for well more than a year now.
And the Biden White House investigating the leak of Bezos's, Musk's, Buffett's tax information as ProPublica's Eisinger is on Squawk this morning. Jim, though, in the meantime, is it a function of the fact that we have no earnings, we're awaiting macro, and we're bored? Is that why this meme stuff is going on?
We don't have a lot of motion pictures. Thank you, Adam. Aaron's trying. AMC. Yes. And I think it's only going to get hotter as we have GME. We have GameStop reporting tonight. GameStop, obviously, is the Mac Daddy of this, David.
Got their annual meeting, right?
Well, it's everything. They got the shooting match.
Yeah.
And maybe we hear something, maybe we don't. But I did something this morning. I did some research on Wendy's. And I spoke to the largest shareholder and chairman, Nelson Peltz. And Nelson's very happy with the stock. Felt that after the previous quarter, the stock should have been where it is. Obviously not a seller. Thinks that the breakfast has been a great success, which it has been. I had Todd Penegor on, the CEO. We were both saying the stock was unbelievable, 22 and a half, but nobody cared. But we are starting to get interest. What I had Chilin Z last night, I quoted, saying that it should go up. That's a very highly paid, I think, a Wall Street broker, right? Analyst, Chilinzi, saying that the salad was fabulous.
Got it.
So I'm going to go and get the salad this weekend and see if I buy the stock.
Well, Stiefel, to your larger point, downgrades today, and they almost fall over themselves trying to say, look, this is not about concerns about the fundamentals. We just talked to the company at a conference, but 25 was our 12-month target. And and we got to step aside.
Well, I guess GameStop, a lot of people had a $20 target.
But they did. A lot of people had a $10 target.
Right. Some people had a zero-level target.
AMC, a lot of people have a $7 target.
Well, all I can tell you is the new burger is selling well. The jalapeno popper, I had that last weekend. It's killer. There has been a major resurgence in breakfast. They're passing Burger King,
by the way. So you're
going
to sit here and talk about the fundamentals when that move the other day has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Well, on the Wall Street Bet side, I saw a lot of people say it was the Wendy's Tendies. Now, David, because you're a boomer, I have to explain to you, Tendies is a financial game.
Quite a boomer. I think I just missed it.
Well, I've tried to educate these people, and they love me. They clearly love me as a professor. I've heard so many good things that I'm sure.
I call you professor normally, yeah.
Professor.
That's how I address you outside the office.
But, I mean, I want to be too facetious here, but there really wasn't that much more of a story to Wendy's other than the fact that Nelson Peltz agrees with meme.
The story is Clover again, which is soaring yet again after that incredible move yesterday. Of course, this once a Chamath-backed SPAC that merged Clover merged into it.
Yeah.
I believe he's still locked up. There's been some reporting because, you know, his stake has, as you might imagine, risen dramatically in value. It's a 6-month lockup from the close of the transaction, and that was in January. So there's been some reporting that he can sell. I don't believe that's correct, at least if you read the S1, but as you take a look at him. But you know, if the stock manages to stay above 12 for a period, I think it's 20-something days, then you can also sell a third of your stake. So they're going to be watching that, too. That's typical language in all these SPACs. But the point, of course, is that he's become, his wealth has gone up dramatically, even just in the last day with this move in Clover, which continues. That is heavily shorted. But, guys, there are other names, too. Have you taken a look at Wish? Remember this thing?
Yeah.
Remember these guys? They
yeah, that was
public
a failed
traditional
deal.
IPO.
Right.
Didn't do well. They sell a lot of stuff you buy at, I don't know, where would you buy it? Dollar store, maybe?
Kind you of skeptic, you. By the way, you know, Clover Health was downgraded to neutral after Bank of America because the numbers.
There's
and by
context,
the way,
there's context
Hindenburg
logic.
Did. Context line. Yeah, that's. That, yeah. That had been a failed deal.
That one, Wish, Context Logic, is heavily shorted, 50%. I mean, there is some method to the madness, Jim, in terms of targeting.
Well, Hindenburg did a very solid job about why
Clover.
You should not own it.
On Clover.
Why you should not own Clover.
Context Logic.
You're not talking Merck yet.
No, we're not moving on to Molnupiravir yet, no.
Well, there's one more. Goldman takes a crack at the meme activity today. Costin's. They look at various episodes, and they argue that it's small lot trading that declines prior to the share price peak. And that, in their view, implies that it's larger traders who are driving us to the peak and then again after the peak.
Wow. Well, I was hoping he'd talk about the out-of-the-money call problem, where people buy out-of-money calls. It's very hard to hit. If you're a market maker, it's very hard to
July
hedge.
July 800s in GameStop.
Yes, the July
800s. Open interest.
So what
July
is it, guys?
If 800s. By the way, they were buying them a few weeks ago. They've gone up dramatically in value.
Well, so
moving GameStop.
Well, you have to cover if you're a market maker. You have to buy because it's very hard to.
But it's. To I mean, people are also
them.
Selling those calls. That's one way. The
right.
You're not
picking up a little income. Kind of a dividend on GameStop.
Right.
Now these people, by the way, have total contempt, in particular for me. And I think that's because I'm actually trying to figure them out. And I like Wendy's. Why did I call Nelson Peltz? Because I happen to like Wendy's. I thought that the stock should go higher. I was not focused on the garden salad. I was focused on the same store sales.
Right.
Now, see, that little comment I just made,
yeah.
They hate that.
I know.
They just hate that. And you know what I say?
Just keep it coming. Just
I say,
yes.
Just
walked?
Bring
what do
it
say?
On.
What do
bring, I'm from Philly. I never threw a battery, but I did throw snowballs.
No broken beer bottle in the
never
back
did.
Of...
My father was hit by a beer bottle at a Washington team Eagles game. It was actually a playoff game with Buddy Ryan. We did not go for 5 years. He was hit square in the head with a beer bottle.
Mm.
But these people must love that. My father's passed away. They must love that even more. 835-918. That's my mother's phone number. She died in 1985. Why don't you give her a jingle and say what you have to say? It's Adams 3, if you want to know. We used to use that like Barry
got
Hill.
Yep.
So now they've got everything.
They got it all.
They've got everything. They can go after my mother.
I think you're going to be okay. I think you got to keep doing what you're doing and don't let them get in your head. Don't let them get in your head.
No, I'm not. I'm convinced that if you explain to people that what's moved this in part is because people are saying that Wendy's tendies, and of course Wendy's has a great social media site, and sometimes they and GameStop.
Yes.
You listen to me. This is for real.
I'm listening to you. The only other question I have is who is behind all the trading? Is there something we don't fully know?
Schulenzi.
You know, is it not just here in this country? Is it a global phenomenon? Are there traders in other countries?
Is it the Colonial Pipeline people? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Can you tell me how I earn 8% interest on the money I have in the cash account? David,
no, I don't.
How do I get 8.5? I mean, isn't that higher than what I'm getting at J.P. Morgan?
Yes, I don't understand that. You keep saying about how you get it on your holdings.
I get 8.9. Yeah, I got 8.6% on my cash last night. Now, that you think they're taking some risk? Are they lending out?
What do you
things?
Have it in? Bitcoin or Ethereum? Or?
No, that's the outfit I have it with my cash position. I'm getting 8.6%.
Okay.
Now, that's not possible.
No,
without taking on a level of risk.
Yes,
but people don't want to hear
out if I were you.
I actually am trying to transfer right now.
Okay.
But we also have this new thing, Carl. We have like things like this Ashford Hospitality, where because the stock goes higher because of memes, you then get preferred that it can convert. And it's what I call a virtuous circle up. We should be following these things because people look at AHT under us and say, how did that go up from 3 to 7? Well, the answer is virtuous circle.
Yeah.
Ashford Hospitality, AHT, watch that one, Dave.
Yeah, even Wendy's announcing a refi operation today. Not that it's related, but it certainly provides more opportunity, as you say. Meanwhile, the Senate has passed this $250 billion tech and manufacturing bill aimed at countering China. The bipartisan vote, 68 to 32. Yeah, it's still possible. The legislation called the U.S. Innovation and Competition Act includes funding for domestic semiconductor manufacturing and securing supply chains. All kinds of statements, Jim, last night from the Venture Capital Association and the semiconductor manufacturers about how this is a good thing.
Not everyone agrees. Do you, sometimes Eunice Yu, I think, by the way, has been up for about 49 hours straight, right? Because it doesn't matter. But Eunice had a report this morning on why exchange, where she said that the Chinese are furious about this. They just cannot believe that we're trying to be competitive. What? What's going on? They can't.
Your phrasing was interesting. Well,
they think it's listen to her. I mean, now, of course, they're blacking us out right now when we do this. But they don't like this. They think that they've been fair. Why are we targeting them? Of course, I had Bobby Kotick on last night. 30 years now running Activision Blizzard.
Wow,
he's 30 years. He took a pay cut, by the way.
Still a board member of Coke, I believe.
Oh, betcha. Coca-Cola. You betcha. They've got almost as many games being played as there are countries in Coca-Cola's everywhere. But you know, we're talking about competitiveness and how we can't be competitive with more things like this. And that's what the Chinese are against, our attempts to become competitive. And if we got Secretary Raimondo on here, who's unbelievable from the Commerce Department, remember Commerce used to issue some facts like every other week? Gina Raimondo is actually trying to change this. But the Chinese are worried that we are actually doing this.
Yeah, we're launching trade talks with Taiwan. Obviously, the Wuhan lab story continues to bubble. And now the president, Jim, going to the EU, there's more discussion that they are looking to remove the aluminum and steel tariffs by next week, this draft document. Maybe ending this Boeing Airbus saga once and for all?
Oh, that would be good. Although the devastating report we had, an interview, Air Lease, I don't know if you caught that this morning.
I saw some of it, not all of it.
With Phil LeBeau, how the manufacturing snafus at Boeing are just terrible. And when you listen to it, you don't feel very proud. And Boeing is a great American company that has really stumbled. And that's what the guest said. And I have to tell you, look, my charitable trust owns it, but when you listen, and, you know, Phil, of course, is the best. I'm just getting some things. It's Udar Hazy, and he's been on Mad Money. He pulls no punches, and basically he's just saying that we can't make them like we used to. And it was my father always told me about when you always zeros, or always zeros above him, and then suddenly there was a silver plane, the B-29, and he knew we were going to win the war after losing a lot of guys in his outfit. That's not the Boeing we're seeing now. Devastated.
Yeah. He's the dean, too, of aviation
yes,
in so many
is.
Ways. Well, when we take a break here, when we come back, the IRS is investigating the release of wealthy Americans' tax information in the wake of that blockbuster report from ProPublica. Take a look here at the pre-market. We still range bound, and we will talk about why the 10-year is below 1.5 when there is so much talk about what CPI could hand us tomorrow. Don't go away.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
The Internal Revenue Service says it is investigating the release of wealthy Americans' tax information. This after ProPublica published a report saying it obtained IRS information showing how multi-billionaires such as Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, Michael Bloomberg pay very little in income tax. In some cases, nothing. We talked about this yesterday. This is sort of part two of the story. Part one, of course, is the numbers themselves. As you said, Jim, you know, Rick Santelli had a question for me, I think, and you made the point. It's avoidance. It's not evasion.
Right. And people,
avoidance is what you want to do. The question is there anything that can be done to capture some of this incredibly increasing wealth so that there is at least a sense of fairness amongst those who would argue that it's not fair?
Well, Jesse Eisner's old friend was on Squawk, and just an unbelievably good interview.
Right, Jesse that, started at the street.
He started at the street.
My first hire,
yeah. One of my first hires, along with Danny Colarusso, who works with us now. And it was rather, the reporting was amazing to have this stuff. But he said, listen, we can't. It's his job to tell the story. I was shocked yesterday, unless I missed it, that Senator Warren didn't come out and say, well, this is how we have to have some sort of surtax.
Yeah.
A surtax. I mean, I think a surtax is needed. In other words, in the Vietnam War, Lyndon Johnson came up with a phone tax. Out of nowhere, they charged you a phone tax.
Right.
In order to pay for the war. I would say if I were running for whatever, that it's time to have a surtax on billionaires, not the 5% of their assets. That's wrong. But if you pay nothing and you're a billionaire, bingo, there's a little box. I mean, just like the $4,000, what, the child claim for a
Bezos. Yeah.
There should be a box. You can't. There has to be a surtax on billionaires. It's the way to do it. That billionaires are going to hate me now, too, along with the mean people.
You're making friends all over.
More people I don't care about.
Is it a surtax on what? Are you trying to judge their wealth?
A surtax on whatever gains that they have had.
But
that year.
The thing is, they're not booking any gains.
Well, no.
I mean,
they're
borrowing billions against their stock position.
Right, but they can.
The interest on which, by the way, I think is tax deductible.
Avoidance, first of all, is everybody's right. And matter of fact, the code says you should.
I know.
You should try to avoid it.
Listen, if I was a straight W-2 employee, I'm sure I'd try and figure it out too.
But I just thought that if you made. We all know these people as billionaires. So I think that the tax code should be changed to say, listen, if you are a billionaire, we are going to take a surtax on whatever way you try to get income to you.
Right.
Oh, come on, David. I'm trying to.
No, I think it's all a discussion headed in an interesting direction. The Times, for example, suggests that your income tax at the federal level is public the way property taxes are.
That'd be great.
And as for Eisinger, he did argue that these unrealized gains can, in a way, be counted as income if you're operating outside the tax system.
Yes.
Here's what Jesse said.
The ultra wealthy are completely outside of the system, and their wealth and all of the power and all of the means that their wealth confers is completely, almost entirely outside of the system. And the question is whether that system is working.
Right.
As for the disclosure, Andrew asked him if this was information he thought the public should know. He said, I think it's in the public interest to know that the world's wealthiest person paid no federal income.
I completely agree. It was unbelievable reporting. Jesse, I don't know how he got it. That's the subject of the investigation, is how he got it.
Was it hacked somehow, but the IRS hacked and then it provided to them, or was it a leak from the IRS directly? There are significant penalties if somebody there is actually doing
but
that,
I think
there's more reporting to come. They got an enormous amount of data, and so there's going to be more stories.
Well, shouldn't there be outrage? I mean, I think there's a lot of people who don't make a lot of money in this country.
Listen, we've been sitting at this desk discussing the tax system for years amongst ourselves. Jim Stewart has always joined us because he's been a real student of that, one of your friends.
James B.
And what, you know, meanwhile, the Gulf just keeps going, right?
Well, I was just suggesting, because I was listening to Jesse and thinking we've got to find some way to just say, like, there's an alternative minimum tax if you're a billionaire. And just find it.
Meanwhile, you listen to Robert Frank, the top 1% do pay more in as a percent of the overall revenue than their percent of, than their, what?
No,
they
it's just
do.
Like, there are a lot of people who watch the show who say, listen, when I get to be a billionaire, I don't want to pay any taxes. When I get to be, right? The Wall Street mean people, you think they're out there to be thousandaires?
When you become a billionaire, you don't have to pay taxes.
Right. And it's like, you know, I think that there should be another way. I'd like to get some more money out of these people. But
guys, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get Kramer's Mad Dash. Lots of sell-side calls to get to, including Goldman, Morgan Stanley, Colgate, Wendy's, Fox, Dish, Dash. We're back in a minute.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists put people at the heart of everything they create, like Olu Sheyi, a Comcast engineer who grew up bonding with his dad over sports. This inspired him and his team to create AI Highlights technology that uses AI and machine learning to detect the major plays in a sporting event, so millions of fans have a way of catching up on their favorite sports. Learn more at ComcastCorporation.com.
All right, time for a mad dash as we count down to the count you down to the opening bell. Campbell's is a name that we did not get to yet, and so we should now,
yes.
I think.
Okay, so here's what's been happening. There are a lot of people who come on, Mad Money and other shows, and they say, look, people have really changed their habits. They are now having soup, and they love soup, and after the pandemic's over, they're going to be drinking soup. Well, they are. They're just drinking it a lot less. And that's what Campbell's Soup said this morning in a rather disappointing quarter because they also had some raw costs that were up. Look, Mark Clouse is a great CEO, but you can't just keep stocking your pantry when you can go out. And so he, look, if we had not had wonderful science like from Pfizer and Moderna, then he probably would have had a great quarter. But if the fact is, the pantry stocking is over. And now people are back to usual consumption. And
we get, I'd like a longer.
The
longer,
snacks were bad too.
Let me get a longer term on the chart as well.
Snacks were bad too.
Take a look. Yeah,
you know,
snacks were bad also.
Cape Cod chips were.
And
under.
You have been generally impressed with him, I believe.
I am
in
impressed
terms
with
of
him.
What he's been able to do since he
but
took over.
I guess
CEO.
I should have been more impressed with Borla and and the people
at Pfizer. You mean? Yeah. In terms of what they were able to do.
Yeah, I have the Moderna, which Dr. Gottlieb makes me feel the same.
I'm Moderna also.
You're Moderna? Yeah. The second shot was just a little bummer. But look, this is going to take a lot of the, Smucker had a good number, by the way. So let's just not all say they're together. But you're going to see, say, a General Mills go down, which is good. B&G Food will go down. A couple of others, there are going to be some bad pin action off this. Maybe Kraft Heinz.
Right.
Those were real pantry stockers.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep an eye on all of those names as we get ready for an opening bell. Stay with us. We're right back.
A lot of head scratching this morning regarding the 10-year. As you can see, 1484 is below 1.5 for the first time since early May. Jim, so many cross currents. Lumber's down 30% in a month, but Chipotle's raising prices 4%.
Look, it is very, very hard to figure out what's going on. People are going to be looking at Rocket. UWM, these are not meat. They're not meats. They're not meats. They're not meat. They are actual. Their earnings go up. And their earnings go up because there's going to be more refinancing, but there's going to be more homes bought. There was a great presentation last week by Doug Yearley and Toll Brothers. I mean, there's the housing shortage continues. Now the rates come back down again. Rocket's good.
I mean, it had that very significant fall, though.
Well, they had some problems with the warehouse loans. Not problems, not credit. Just didn't make as much money. But
yeah, it was less than people anticipated.
Right, but they have a shot again, and I happen to like Rocket very much. I had UWM on. I have both on. They need this. This move in the 10-year is just extraordinary, given the fact that Chipotle really put through a very significant wage increase. I think that Jay Powell, just to be sure, the Fed chief, wants the wage increase at a certain level. He actually believes, and David, you can dispute me on this because you disputed me on my billionaire surtax. Okay. But there are a lot of people who don't make a lot of money in this country, and if they're able to make just a little bit more while they work at Chipotle, isn't that fine?
Yes, that's great. I'm in favor of that. Who wouldn't be?
Well, I think the people
who own the
shares. By the
way, there
are
jobs available right now, interestingly. I mean, if you're a teenager looking for work.
Oh, my, to be a teenager.
Wake up till 3 o'clock.
Do you think to be a teenager is a big. You're excited about that because of the minimum wage? To be a teenager again?
No.
There's not other things?
I'm just saying, there's a lot of jobs available.
Oh, okay.
Right
I thought
now.
It was like, wow.
They're going unfilled. You talk about it all the time.
I don't.
How's it going, finding people to.
I can't.
To bus tables.
I can't, which is why I was at Bar San Miguel last night hosting.
There you go.
Hosting. Because the guy who could be a host is a bartender. I mean, look, I'm not. Look, I was a. I remember when I was a busboy, and they made me wash dishes. And my father came back, and he fired me. You're not a dishwasher, Jimmy. You're a busboy.
Demoted from dishwasher.
Yes.
The Jim Cramer story. Let's get the opening bell here at the big board. It is the Trevor Project.
celebrating Pride Month, and at the NASDAQ, its payment processing company, Marqeta, celebrating its IPO. Man, IPOs, Jim, are keeping us busy, whether it's Marqeta. Reports now that Robinhood's probably looking at more like a July issue.
Marqeta was terrific this morning. Just absolutely fantastic. I support the Trevor Fund, Teen Depression Help. My daughter's been involved in that, too. I think it's just a great charity. Always should mention the charities when you know that they're good, particularly for this month, for Gay Pride. A lot of these IPOs are very interesting. I was spellbound at how interesting this Marqeta was. I mean, it's really, again, in fintech. It's the, you know, David, when we start seeing this buy now, pay later phenomena is another phenomenon as a teenager you would have liked.
Yes.
You mean the Affirm sort of economy?
I had Affirm one. I think it's fantastic. Not everybody has enough money to buy everything. And by the way, when you have to start paying your student loan again, you're going to be needing this buy now, pay later.
Yeah.
How many trillions in student loans?
Clover. I know. We're taking a look at Clover, of course, which is, I mean, the volume in these names is also unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Clover, even before the open, I mean, that Wish had traded 28 million. Clover's already traded 40
but Carl pointed
million
out,
shares. Its 30-day average is 46 million. So it's basically already traded its average full daily volume.
True, but there's not a lot happening, and these people are having the time of their lives.
All right.
That's what Mola said yesterday. See that headline? 70 to 80% of meme investors are just having fun, said Ken.
There's nothing
Did
that
Ken
right?
actually say that?
Yeah.
Or yeah.
I mean, this is what the wires.
They just want to have fun.
Ken, yeah. All right. Why not? Everybody should have fun.
It's a Cindy Lauper market.
I do know the cohort to a certain extent.
Cindy Lauper.
College freshmen, sophomores, they're out there on their phones. They're doing this stuff. They're buying these things, selling it. Also crypto. It's fun.
Well, I just think if you educate them a little more, they're actually be able to.
The fun will stop. They will lose money.
But. I called for education this morning, and my tease was going, and that was resoundingly rejected, saying that I am so obviously old calling for education.
Let's go old school, back to Merck if we can, because we haven't actually gotten to it this morning yet.
Oh, Merck.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Merck. I'm sorry. Merck? My mom always said cover your mouth with yawn when you yawn, so I did that.
$185 billion company, makes a few pharmaceuticals.
They have a dividend. What's the dividend?
Yeah, they got a dividend too, about 3.8, somewhere in there, right?
Dividend?
3.8%.
Is that like the Subtrahend or something?
Yeah, there it is, 3.5. There's a look at Merck. It's up 1%. This is a story I've been following closely, of course, because I know Ridgeback Biotherapeutics quite well and its founders. But molnupiravir, that's the antiviral that they have that's in phase 3 trials. Now, those trials, you know, you got to follow people for 29 days, which is not a very long period of time, but finding them is the hard part. Enrolling people who know they just got the virus, but aren't overly sick, but are also in a higher risk group, for example, over 60 years old. So, and they got to enroll a lot of people. All that said, probably the fall is what Merck continues to point to when we'll get the results of the phase 3 trial. The news, of course, is the U.S. government has said we'll pay $1.2 billion for 1.7 million courses of molnupiravir. And you can do the math because that's sort of applicable. It's about $700 a course. 10 million plus courses will be available by the end of 2021, and one would expect other countries will also step up in a similar fashion to have this on hand. There are any number of people who aren't vaccinated. There are variants of the virus that will continue to, unfortunately, be around. And the expectation is this antiviral will be able to knock those down if given early, particularly for those who are in vulnerable populations, but even for everybody. As I've said many times, as a Tamiflu. Now, all of that, of course, is pending it actually getting emergency usage authorization and or final FDA approval. But there's a look at Merck because it could become a substantial generator of revenue for.
Well, look, this is really important because, as Dr. Gottlieb said this morning, it's not you're when you're protected by these vaccines, they're still like 85% as opposed to, say, 90%. Yep. And, you know, that's 15% is a lot. That means it's somebody you hug or shake hands with.
It is.
If you do it 100 times.
Cases tended to actually be when they do get a breakthrough case. It's not that if you actually know you have it, it ends up not being great.
Although, I mean, as Funstrat said last night, we're on pace to maybe fall below 10,000 cases next week. Nice. We had 18 states yesterday post fewer than 100 new cases. Fewer than 100. 18 states.
Hallelujah. We're so lucky.
We're still not at 70%. We hope to be
by July 4th,
of course, 70%.
We are. Great.
When
you consider India and go back to what Mark Benioff did in sending that giant plane over to India and the fact that they're short oxygen. Lindy is a company I'm
Although thankfully in India the caseloads have started to abate as well.
Right.
The lockdown measures.
India's stock market hit a high.
Interesting.
What's that, the memes in India?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in India. We know what's going on here.
So horrible.
With the memes.
But it's so horrible.
What's
I mean, they were like telling the Indian, you know.
Humanitarian
problems. Yeah, the government was first talking about how it's like, you know, wash the surfaces. I mean, it was an aerosol issue, and they just did it all wrong. Now they're getting it right.
Talking here.
Here, too.
Yeah, here, too.
But India, I just feel so bad. I mean, it's just so hard to watch. I mean, we want to do anything we can to help them. Anything.
Guys, a couple of research notes caught my eye this morning, sort of in my areas of interest. Dish shares are down 3.25%.
Yeah.
There was a downgrade this morning from J.P. Morgan. They cite three major concerns, and they sort of point at the overall multiples just being quite high at this point. And they say, listen, it's not easy to build out a new wireless network. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there are 114 megahertz that they have of total spectrum. Well, now you've got the other three carriers out there, and they have a lot more. Remember the recent spectrum auction, of course, we spent a lot of time talking about. They got a lot more. It's not easy to compete against them. And finally, you had this window where you could differentiate because you were going to be all 5G right away from the start, and that window is starting to close. So for those reasons, they downgrade it. Over at Wells Fargo, they upgrade Fox, and I thought this was interesting.
It was really interesting piece, wasn't it?
Because I know you've been focused on the growth of basically sports betting, which in some ways certainly is connected into what we've also been talking about with the meme stocks, or at least the way some of the young people trade them. Look out a couple of years, and we think Fox A will be a sports betting stock with media network assets versus today as a media networks business with some betting investments.
Very interesting. DraftKings, I do a program with DraftKings. I think the stock's undervalued, but it peaked. A lot of people flew these peak because what happened is once you threw football season, you didn't get a gigantic surge in professional football. In, March Madness, whatever, but
which is interesting because historically, especially when daily fantasy evolved, they thought game frequency was going to be the big thing.
Yes, they
baseball,
did.
Basketball.
Yes.
But people still love their NFL.
They just, I think and the betting's going to be extraordinary this year.
And the deals are all done. Now, Fox, of course, for its part, is not going to start a direct-to-consumer the way everybody else has. And
right.
So the question is there a pivot in their business model? This analyst at least seems to think that it's possible.
They have to.
Given some of the acquisitions they've made quietly in recent
months. A lot of these companies are very skittish about talking about even the line.
Really?
I mean, but, as it gets more and more legal, what are you skittish about?
It's growing. It's grown enormously.
Oh, my. And each state,
But what do you think
Portnoy.
Is the best way? If you had to pick one or two securities to buy to play this overall theme?
You would do Penn National. Which is the sports book that's Barstool.
Right.
And Jason Houghton, very good, and it's Portnoy. And then you would do DraftKings, which has a very smart group of people at the top of it. Jason Robbins is very smart. And I just think that when you look at these, you have to take it from the prism that people are going to do in-game, much more in-game gambling. And that's going to be what really happens, and that's going to what really drive things. Don't forget, the casino's going to be open this year. That'll be a big deal.
I'm just looking at Caesars now. I mean, year-to-date up 49. Goldman's got a chart out today about gambling and gaming revenue almost back to pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And that's without international, and it's without corporate.
Look, I think it's also a lot of fun. I mean, for my program, for Bull Market Fantasy, we'll derive questions. Kind of like that, who's going to have the most touchdowns this week. But if you look at the DraftKings come-ons, it'll often be like, listen, if Aaron Rodgers, starts for an NFL team this year, because obviously he didn't show up to Packer camp.
I'm aware.
It's a big deal.
I follow him closely, Mr. Rodgers.
Oh, you do? Because he's taking that Jeopardy job.
Yeah, it's the competition.
He wants the Jeopardy job.
He wants it. He wants it
Devontae
bad.
Adams, forget it. He wants the Jeopardy job.
Doesn't he have enough? I mean, really? Can't he just leave a little something for the little
Shailene
guys?
Shailene Woodley. He's a football.
You think he has everything?
100 yards. He's one of the greatest QBs of all time. He looks like that.
Don't be jealous, David.
Man.
Don't be jealous. That's a really a very ugly.
We're talking about sports betting. Sorry, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, David, by the way, I just AT&T got a $725 million veterans contract. 12 years.
Okay, that's good.
I just
good
wanted
to
say something positive about AT&T.
Well, I'd love to come back quickly. The meme stocks, this clean energy is also.
All right, so that's.
CLNE.
Okay, that's Andrew Littlefield. I used to have him on all the time.
Did you really?
Littlefair, I'm sorry.
All right, Littlefair. It's up 38%.
Okay, so you have to look. This is long haul natural gas. Also, it does short stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's really important here is that in 10 years, they've only had 1 year that they've had income. And I know, and I happen to love their technology. But the fact is, it has every time it has thought to be taken off, you get the actual trucking companies, many of whom I've met with on this, just saying, look, it's not going to happen. It's just going to be small time. But Andrew Littlefair communicated recently with me, and I was skeptical because of the problems with them actually not making money. But that has not stopped a lot of the mean people. Because the concept is so good. We would love to have natural gas be a cleaner, better.
Well, know. And I know you discussed Lordstown with Becky a moment ago. Back to 10. Strangely, RBC initiates today with a $5 target. They don't see EBITDA break even until 2025. Says they got to raise another $2.25 billion to remain solvent. We know about the ongoing concern. Yeah. Is this not a lesson to those who wrote it into the, mid-30s?
Is it ever a lesson? And I had them on, and the company was highly promotional about orders. And if you're going, you didn't get a going concern letter, I would have to think that, that's a tough thing to get.
Yeah, it is. It's not a good sign when you need to raise that much if you're not Elon Musk.
It's suboptimal.
If you aren't an incredible promoter.
I mean, but when the company came on air, the guy was kind of presenting himself as the next mayor.
Well, March 18th, Phil LeBeau took the CEO on this very topic. Here's what happened.
Great?
Never said we had orders. We don't have a product yet. By definition, we can't have orders. We have very robust interest, and that's just what they are. They're letters of interest. You can't do any more of that in this stage. So I don't think anybody thought that we had actual orders, right? That's just not the nature of this business.
I thought this was an amazing interview because I thought that they had actual orders because some of the things that I don't know if we can call for what he said on Mad Money, but I mean, letters of interest, I presume that those were, kind of orders. What did they say? Look, I am sending you a letter. I am very interested, but I'm not ordering. That's possible. I'm very interested in the new Maverick.
It's a letter of intent.
It's LOI?
Yeah, it's kind of an LOI.
You use those and maybe it was force majeure.
Yeah, well.
You speak that language.
I do. I have.
Yeah. Now, what happens if it breaks the $10? Well, it's already done. It's a public
company. It's done. Yeah, it's a public
company. It's a public company.
It's nothing. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. There's no $10
buck there. It
was once a SPAC.
That's the reason you mentioned that.
But it was such a great idea. Come on. It was that plant.
Yep.
It was being brought back to life.
Ohio, everything.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, maybe they'll raise the $2.25 billion.
Yeah, maybe they will.
Yeah.
It's a dream come true story. If I were the PRC, I would say, you know what? We are going to demonstrate our ability to put differences aside, we are going to invest in Lordstown, People's Public China.
I know who it is. Yeah, just I didn't see that coming.
You don't think it's coming?
I didn't see you going.
The Belt and Road Initiative is live and well in Milan, but not in Lordstown.
Right.
Okay, you naysayer.
S&P's up for the 10-year. Is below the 100-day yield, below the 100-day average for the first time since October. Let's get to Rick Santelli. Morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. I love watching these yields because I just love talking to other traders about what their perception is about an economy that's hot. Definitely there's some supply issues. Inflation is the common theme. Every country's printing to the tune of, are there enough trees in the forest? And yields globally are going down. Does that sound like we have confidence to be able to count on price discovery to reflect the true risk reward of the interest rate complex? Because I think therein lies the issue. Look at a 24-hour chart of 10-year, 140s now. And if you open the chart up month to date, this is the seventh session of June. Right smack in the middle, you see where all the drops started, where yields started to move down? 8:30 Eastern on Friday, Jobs Friday. Jobs Friday really underscored so many different dynamics that we are reopening on a hot scale, and many countries are ultimately going to be there with us. But the issue is that as we are opening up, not only do we see that we have, in a way, created policies that are inhibiting a better opening, we can't seem to find the people that are unemployed to take the jobs that are being offered. You can put forth any reason you want, but there are lots of little glitches along the way. And should 10 years close at current levels be the lowest yield close since, well, the back end of February, as you see on this chart? Now, if I think about inflation, the equity markets just seem to be a natural place, especially now that the complex of the treasuries just doesn't seem to reflect that concern. Let's look at a chart pre-COVID, September 2019, of crude oil and the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Boy, they certainly seem to rhyme a bit, don't they? And finally, today, we saw the release of producer price index and CPI in China year over year. The PPI in China, hottest since July of 2008. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick. Very big step.
Yep. Let's get to Bob Pisani as well. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, Carl. Hopefully, we'll close at a new high today. We've been waiting for days to see if that'll happen. A little bit of disappointment because those bond yields Rick was referencing should be helping stocks. Not so much. Just take a look at the sectors, though. Tech generally leading early on. A lot of debate about whether growth is going to come back in the second half of the year. Energy and REITs have really been the big winners this month. Flattish, as you can see today. Banks down because of yields keep dropping. Rick was right on top of all of that, of course. Why are the bond yields lower? Look, I mean, you saw what Rick was talking about here, the slow descent that we've been seeing. It started even before what was going on with the jobs report. But there's a number of good points that the traders down here keep making the last couple days. Maybe some less lavish spending from Washington is partly responsible. A lot of people talking about the potential for slower growth in the second half of the year. Some believe, you know, maybe the Fed's right. Inflationary pressures are transitory. A lot of different debate about the causes. But one thing's for sure, costs are going up. Do you see what the Campbell CEO said this morning? Our results impacted rising inflationary environment, short-term increases in supply chain costs. This is the CEO, and some executional pressures as we continue to advance our agenda, primarily in our snacks division. But a lot of people, a lot of companies talking about higher costs here, not just Campbell's. And by the way, their earnings revenue were below forecast. Brown Foreman talked about higher input costs. Sherwin-Williams is higher costs. They're raising prices as well. Chipotle hiked menu prices by 4% recently. The Times had a big story the other day on Uber and Airbnb raising prices. Forget about low-cost taxi rides. That's not going to happen anymore. So it's definitely costs are going up. We're all going out a lot more. CPI is tomorrow. That's what a lot of people down here are going to be focused on for a good read on inflation. Keep an eye on that one. Meantime, growth versus value. Everybody's trying to figure out the second half of the year. I know Marco Kolonovic and Kathy Wood were out talking about growth is going to outperform. Okay, here's the story. Value has been up twice as much as growth so far this year. It inverted beginning about February. The index guys point out the obvious. Stop debating this. If you would have just owned the S&P 500, you'd split the difference. You'd be right in the middle. Value and growth are very confusing categories. Like, value is things like oil stocks. It's things like retailers like Gap, commodities like Freeport, and some of the banks like Wells Fargo. But there's other stocks like L Brands that are right in both of the categories. So it's a little bit difficult. Growth is not just technology stocks. Caterpillar is a growth company, for example. Deere's been a growth company for the last several years. These are not easy categories to figure out. I would simply say split the difference. The index guys certainly have a point just owning the S&P 500. Finally, Power Lunch today. Want to talk about meme stocks? Let's talk about it with the guy who's in charge, Gary Gensler, the head of the SEC. We'll talk to him about Robinhood. We'll talk to him about what's going on with all the meme names that Jim and everybody else has been talking about. We'll talk about payment for order flow. We'll talk, of course, about what's going on with climate change and the SEC's efforts on top of that. And, of course, what's going on with Bitcoin as well. Be a very interesting time there. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob. Thanks, Bob Pisani. So we got the Nasdaq up for 4 days in a row. We haven't had a streak longer than that since early February. And despite all this churn, the S&P is trading above a record close. We're back in a moment. Take a look at a 1 week of Bitcoin. You can see we're up almost 6.5% today. It's had a myriad number of headlines thrown at it this week. But today it's Interactive Brokers, CNBC reporting they will offer crypto trading by the end of summer. More Squawk on the Street continues in a moment.
It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
Sherwin-Williams is down, even though they gave a pretty robust forecast. And part of that is because of raw costs. Who can pass on? Who can't? I use Frank Mitsch at Fermium to try to look at the chemical side. They're going to have margin compression. And a lot of people don't want to buy stocks, even if they say demand's good, if there's margin compression. I happen to think Sherwin-Williams is a great company, but I know analysts say, hold it, if margins are under pressure, we don't want to be in it, hence the stock going down.
Although this Credit Suisse upgrade of Colgate suggests that margins could surprise up.
That was surprising because that TiO2, which is whitener, is just on fire. I don't know how they're going to do that, but I know Colgate's making a lot of right moves. Other people are jealous, trying to figure out what the heck they're doing, given the fact that toothpaste, whitener, is going to cost a fortune.
Our CS says 95 target on CL. Yeah,
that was a good piece.
Which is a 14% upside. What's tonight?
Okay, so I have CrowdStrike, which is one of my favorites along Palo Alto Networks when it comes to cybersecurity. Got to find out what's going on with Bitcoin, obviously. And then I have Tim Massett, old friend from law school, former head of the CFTC, who's very critical of a chain in the command of crypto, which is Tether. And we're going to talk about it tonight because Tim has scared me. And Tim's a smart man. Tim Massett. Look him up because you'll see what he might be saying tonight when we talk about it, because it's not I'm pro crypto, but I'm worried about this one part. And I'm worried about getting 8.6% on my cash and account crypto. 8.6?
No explanation.
Doesn't make sense.
Something wrong with that.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good one. We'll see you at 6.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.